This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Jason Mackey, the Post-Gazette, going to join us in a couple of minutes here on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. I saw something on Twitter yesterday, Dorn. It made me throw up in my mouth a little bit. Kevin Cole, who used to work for PFF, big nerdy stat guy, said the Steelers are on a run of luckier results since Russell Wilson took over as starter. Three of the four wins were losses if you go by my adjusted scores. This guy's got 50,000 Twitter followers. Hmm. Let me tell you something here. I'm totally out on PFF. If the Myles Garrett over TJ Watt thing didn't do it for people, this should help. I realize he doesn't work there anymore, but okay, it's all in the same boat. How about Chris Boswell, who's missed one kick this year? He's been by far the best kicker in football. Has the second highest PFF grade among kickers this year.
Who's the first?
A guy who doesn't have as high of a make percentage as Boswell. You see, for me, what are you grading with kickers, man? Foot placement? Are you grading? Does it have to be in the center of the goalpost?
Right.
It seems like it should be binary to me. Are you familiar with the binary scale, Doran?
Sure.
You know, back in the day, you know, you'd be in college and be like, oh, that girl's a 8 and I'm a 5 on a good day whenever my hair's coiffed. And then you sometimes would go on the binary scale when it's 2 a.m. at the bar and you've had some beverages. Are they a 0 or are they a 1? And you all know what it meant.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's a binary scale for kickers. Do you make the field goal or do you not?
Right.
So the idea that PFF is grading the quality of the makes to me is just absurd. And the idea that this Kevin Cole guy has got this many followers whenever he's talking about adjusted scores, why do you take your spreadsheets and shove them up your backside? The game is played on a grass, Dickerson. It's not played in Excel spreadsheets.
Well, I mean,
really rubbed me the wrong way.
So he said a 3 out of 4 games?
Three out of their last four games would have been losses according to his metrics.
How, though?
Something about success H, success A, 3rd and 4, advantage, minus 16.9.
What are we doing?
We're losers is what we're doing.
Yeah.
With all due respect to this guy.
Yeah, right.
I do love doing that. You just eviscerate someone for 2 minutes, and with all due respect.
Yeah, with all due respect.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah, what are we doing? Like, I don't...
Mike Tomlin's won 61% of his one-score games since becoming a coach in 2007. No one's come close to that. They've played more, and they've won more than anybody. Why? Because sometimes you just know how to get it done in close games. Jason Mackey joins us now on the Fan Morning Show. He, of course, from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Mackey, are the Steelers more lucky or good?
I think they're more good.
Yeah.
It pains me to say that, but that, and I mean grammatically. I don't mean, you know, that I'm rooting for the Steelers to stink.
Well, would it be lucky than well? I mean, what's the grammatical problem?
Just more lucky than good.
Oh.
Are they more lucky than good? You can't really say more good.
That's funny.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying. That's fair.
But yeah, I see what you're getting at. And I'm with you on the predictive stuff, man. I dealt with that a lot on baseball. I think it's stupid. I think you can try to predict too many things. Doran, you know this better than both Crowley and I combined. You cannot predict all the crap that happens in a professional sports season.
No.
You know, guys?
It's silly to try to do that.
To that point, I just watched the Netflix three-part documentary thing on the 04 Red Sox, which I would highly recommend to anybody. It was so good. I mean, they're talking about how Manny Ramirez just disappears for a couple of days, goes AWOL. They're taking shots of whiskey before game number 5, before they play the Yankees. They talk about the human element of Nomar Garciaparra being all peeved off that they were going to trade him and sign A-Rod. The human dynamics, they matter. And so I read that, well, in my metrics, with his pocket protector, I think the Steelers should have lost 3 out of 4. Well, how about they fry Lamar Jackson's head and the guy's got the yips against them? Does that not matter? Matters to me.
Well, it matters to people who don't know the sport.
Oh.
And they're trying to look cool and do the sport. And like the numbers, the things of that nature, it's like, okay, you never really played, or you never really paid attention to how the sport operates. That's what it comes down to. And I've never paid attention to those guys, and I never will.
Can I pay attention when I yell at them, though?
Yes.
Okay, good.
You know what kills me, guys? And I learned this from covering pro sports. I'll never speak like I played pro sports because obviously I did not. The length and difficulty of a season. Like the NFL is one thing, Major League Baseball is one thing, the NHL is another thing. Just how much of a grind that is. Like I only see it from a reporter standpoint and my family and how much crap I deal with. Not that it's a lot, but like, you know, life happens, man. Like stuff goes on. You have stuff going on at home.
Oh my God.
You have regular concerns with your kids and your parents and your family and all that other junk. Like there's no metric for that. You can't quantify how a player feels on that given day. He might have eaten some bad chicken the night before. I don't know. There's like just stupid stuff.
Yeah.
They're not robots. That happens.
Corsi doesn't and Fenwick don't account for Mike Richards is screwing the guy's wife who's playing on his right wing. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
That kind of stuff doesn't get
that's
factored
not to say
into
they
the
can't
metrics.
Be, right. And that's not to say they can't like shed some interesting light on things. I'm not totally like, you know, turning the page on analytics. I think they tell you some interesting things and they're useful. It's just like, we need to apply some context here. And I don't even know who the guy is that's saying they should have lost 3 of 4, but that's one of the more asinine things I think I've heard. I'm with you guys.
But with the longevity of seasons and, you know, you just don't know what the day-to-day is. But what you do know is a guy that has done it for many, many years. They have an advantage because they know what to expect in the realm of a season. And as the season goes on, they know what they need to do to get their body right. They know what they need to study. They know teams. They know defenses. They know offenses. And Russell Wilson is one of those guys. Russell Wilson knows what to expect this week in a regular season or in the playoffs in a regular season. So with that being said, can he get better in your opinion, and can he lead this team to, let's say, an AFC championship game? Because I think that that's where we've rested our case of where the Steelers need to end up at the end of the day.
Ooh, yeah. I mean, second part of that first, Dorn. Yes, I think he can. I think he can because I think there's enough weapons around him. I think the Steelers are as diverse of a team as you'll find in the NFL. Offense, defense, special teams, all of that stuff. I really like what they have. And then to the first part of it, you can't account for the mood that Russell Wilson, you know, installs in the room or something like that. You know, making George Pickens feel a part of this thing, making the Steelers feel like they're not out, making throws when they count. Yes, he can get better. He can get better in the red zone. The Steelers as a whole can get better in the red zone. They won a game without scoring a touchdown. That's remarkable.
Two.
I'm sure you guys are talking about. Two. Yeah, that's right. That's right. But no, there's such a different feel with Russ because of his experience, because of what he can do, how he's united people. Again, not an analytic for it. So yeah, AFC championship, I do not have any question. They can get there. I'm not saying they will get there, but I don't look at anybody as head and shoulders above them at this point.
I'd like to see a little bit more Mike Williams usage. He played 25 snaps, so it was a significant bump in the snap count from one game to the next. It was 9 in the first one, 25 in this one, but no targets, no catches. When do you think that's going to change? Does it need to change? I think it does.
Yeah, I do too, Adam. The whole like pass-catching disbursement is something I hope they sort of revisit before Cleveland. Maybe it's too soon. I don't know. But, you know, what they're getting from the complimentary guys around Pickens, what they're getting, you know, from Mike Williams, even Pat Freiermuth. I'd like to see them use Pat Freiermuth more. Two targets is not enough. You spent a lot of money to sign him. Darnell Washington and his growth is great. Nothing against Darnell, but Pat Freiermuth can be a more viable weapon in this offense. And yeah, Mike Williams, you brought him in here for a reason, right? You brought him in here to stretch the field a little bit, open things up underneath for maybe Calvin Austin, maybe Van Jefferson. But yeah, I think they can spread it around and do a better job of that for sure.
Paul Skeens, rookie of the year.
Oh.
Should surprise nobody. He didn't seem as excited as Livy Dunn did, which is fine. Are they going to do what's necessary here this offseason, Jason? Can they get, I mean, shoot, I'll start with one. Can they get an impact hitter?
I think they can. And is that a Skeens jersey?
Sure is.
And it's rocking a Skeens?
It smells like foot. I don't think I've washed it since the end of the season. And it smells like B.O.
Come on, Adam.
It does. Yeah.
Come on.
I was in the middle of wrapping up the last segment, and I caught a whiff of myself. It's awful.
And you're putting yourself in that hot box with Thorin?
Yeah. See what he does? See?
It reeks.
Very OSHA violation. Inconsiderate.
In there.
Yes, I think they can. I don't think it's going to be a – here's a hot take. I don't think it's going to be one of the premier first basemen on the free agent market. Yeah, they ain't signing Pete Alonso, Christian Walker. I don't expect that. I know. What I do think it can be is a creative trade addition, something like that. They know they have a hole. They know they have money to spend. And I know that also sounds crazy, but they spent about $35 million last year. They don't need to plug nearly as many holes. I look at guys like Ryan Mountcastle from the Orioles could be squeezed out of a spot. Yandy Diaz from the Rays, somebody that they nearly brought in last year, can play a couple different positions. Those are guys that make sense for the Pirates. So yes, I do think they're going to address their first base hole. I think they're going to add an impact bat. And the good news, if you add a Mountcastle or a Diaz, you should have room to add somebody else. Now, they need to be aware of playing time. Like, if you want to get Jack Sawinski going, if you want to try to fix him, you need to give him an opportunity to play. Brian De La Cruz, I would think they'd move forward with him. But to do that, you also need to give him an opportunity to play. So you don't want to clog the playing time too much. But yes, you need to get a bona fide, you know, not Daniel Vogelbach, not Yoshi Setsugo, not Rowdy Tellez, that sort of solution at first base. No questions asked. They need to get that guy, and they need to fix the bullpen as well. I think they'll do those things.
Who was the last good first baseman they had?
Yeah.
I mean, Kevin Young.
I mean, seriously. LaRoche was
really good.
Yeah, when it wasn't April or May, LaRoche was really good. And you had Morneau for
Lee.
A spell. Derek Lee had a great second half, then he got hurt. I mean, for real? Been a long time. Might want to get yourself one of those.
You'd like to see them develop that guy, right? Like, I know this sounds crazy, but Will Craig was supposed to be a guy they developed. And there's nobody really coming up the pipeline. It's weird. Like, Jared Triolo was somebody they thought could be that, but, I mean, he's got an OPS around 600 for his career. He can't be their long-term first baseman.
No. He should be the 26th guy, and you're happy you have that glove, but he should never have to play enough again, Jason, to win a gold glove, with all due respect to him, unless he can turn it around.
Unless he hits. But yeah, exactly.
All right, Jason, this was fun. I smell like
Campbell's soup.
I almost swore. Remember the line from Anchorman? He smells like Bigfoot's. That's what I almost said. All right, Mackie, it's always fun on Tuesdays, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys, stay safe out there.
Stay safe. We got a little stay safe.
Yeah, he's talking to me because you're about to.
You need to
singe all the hair in my nose.
Gas mask over there.
Goodness.
Someone texted in John Jaso. I mean, we could play this game all morning. Text us all the quote-unquote good Pirates first baseman the last 20 years. I don't want to play that game. No, we're in a good mood today. Don't want to be in a bad mood today at all.
No. It's Tuesday, and it's a short week. We have Steelers on Thursday. We need to be – the vibes need to start – what are you doing?
I'm trying to take the jersey off to sniff and see.
Why are you keep – you know that you smell.
You know what? I think it might just be me.
Oh, no, sniff underneath that shirt, underneath your long sleeve shirt.
Oh, my God.
It is you. It's not the shirt. It's not Skeens. Why would Skeens stink? Hell no.
Never mind. Fan text line brought to you by Egger Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Up next, Mackie mentioned the red zone woes. And so I did a little digging, Dorn. I went beyond the numbers on what happened to the Steelers in the red zone against the Ravens. And I'll tell you what my findings were when we...
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Come back. We're vibing on a Tuesday because Steelers brand is coming up quick. People are saying, Callis, that you need to clip my, oh my God, from the last segment whenever I sniff my pits, because they say that my tone went to Mike Williams post-Commanders levels.
Ah! Let's go, man! Gotta go!
I don't think it quite went that high, did it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh my God! Oh my God! Give me a second. Thank you, Callis. People are texting in good and bad Pirates first baseman of the last 15 years. And there were a couple guys we forgot that were pretty good. Garrett Jones. I had a big crush on Garrett Jones's wife when I was young.
Did you?
Yeah, she would always do those Pirates charities, TV broadcasts, and I thought she was the bee's knees.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like Garrett Jones. Hell of a ball player. Late bloomer, much like myself. Shall we get back to the Steelers?
Sure.
Red zone woes, Dorn, they're bad. They're bad, so I did some digging, okay? So they are 30th in the NFL in touchdown percentage in the red zone. They're keeping the company of teams like the Giants and the Jets. So bad football teams. 44.44%. That's really bad. Alan Saunders did some more legwork here. So from the 10-yard line on in, both Wilson and Fields were down there 11 times. Wilson, 4 touchdowns, 5 field goals, 4 points a drive. Fields, 8 touchdowns, 1 field goal, 5.5 points a drive. So people have been calling for Fields in the red zone. I still, when you're in the high red zone, I want my quarterback who can throw. And it's not to say that Fields can't throw. But as you get to the low red zone, that's when I think you need to be using Justin Fields.
Yeah, the 10 and in.
Yeah. 10-yard line and in, it's so much harder to run the ball down there because your safeties are already, I mean, you know this, mm-hmm. You're already, everything's condensed. So you have an extra running threat. He's had a ton of success, 5 rushing touchdowns on the season. We saw what he was able to do, salting that game away against the Ravens. More of that, please. But I thought my eyes told me something different than the statistics actually showed me in this Ravens game. I said it yesterday. I felt like the Steelers were too reliant on the run in the red zone. Well, now I went back and looked because I guess I'm sick. So first red zone drive, Steelers 3 plays, 3 passes. Second red zone drive, 3 plays, 3 passes. Third red zone drive, 2 runs, pass. And then fourth red zone drive, 2 runs, 2 passes, 1 interception. So early on, they were trying to throw it in there. Later on, they were trying to run it in there and then subsequently throw it in there. I guess what I'm saying is they've kind of varied it down there.
Yeah, and nothing's worked.
Nothing's worked. Now, the Giants game I thought was a little misleading because you had the Broderick Jones face mask that got a touchdown back. You had the weirdness of George Pickens and the one-foot deal. And then you had Van Jefferson not stopping on a route whenever he should have. And so we even said coming out of that game, it seemed like they played a lot better in the red zone than they actually did. But all told, with Russell Wilson, it's 7 out of 18, their conversion rate. This is a place where he was excellent last year, 20 touchdowns and 1 pick. So what do you think they need to do? Because they need to do something.
Probably Justin Fields. Probably Justin Fields. It gives you 3 options. It gives you the handoff. It gives you to be able to run with him, and it gives you the ability to throw with him. Guys got to get open, but you have to be able, it's a different concept clearly than getting open between the 20s. You don't have it, it's condensed. You have to be able to feel the different types of routes that you have to run, and that has to be executed throughout the week, like every day. Like usually your red zone day is on Thursday, and then you do it again on a Friday whenever you're doing your run through.
Yeah.
It that needs to be probably at the top of the list, you know, starting on a Wednesday, and even at the end of practice, do it again, just to get the feel, and maybe do it against, honestly, like after this week, because it's so short, they're not going to work on that right now. They're working on red zone, but not like at a high speed. After this week, I would do it against the ones, like not the scout team, like one-on-one, good on good, red zone, no hitting,
like 7 shots,
like 7 shots, like yeah. But red zone, and they might do it already. Like I'm not saying that I know what their practice schedule is like. But I would have a high level competition in practice, like a game setting, where it's ones on ones and your best plays against their best plays, even though that you want to practice against what the red zone defense would be against the Bengals. I would do it against the ones.
Yeah.
And they might already do that, but I'll keep doing it.
I bet you they throw the pads on and really get after it in a way that most teams don't leading up to the Bengals game. Because, yeah, you want to be careful with guys. This week, they're not going to hit at all. Next week, you don't want to be rusty. I bet you will see that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I want to see? Justin Fields in the slot, jet sweep action, and make Cleveland just collapse in on itself like a dying star.
You are trying to say that you
want to see jet sweep.
A jet sweep.
I want to see a jet sweep, yeah. I want a jet sweep to Justin Fields and put that on tape. Even if it's not handing it to him, but just the motion, and then you run off the backside on that. You know what I mean? Like, he comes sweeping to the right, and you hand the ball off to Najee to the left, and you pull a defender with Fields, because, of course, you got to follow Fields.
I mean,
stuff like that.
Yeah, or put Fields as a sidecar and Najee as a sidecar and have Russell Wilson in there and do the read option with Russell Wilson and hand it off to Fields or hand it off to Najee.
Yeah.
But just make him a running back.
Yeah, I mean, just...
I'm making him a running back.
I'm with you. Find ways, creative ways to use him, and they used him. But it was pretty simplistic what they did with him against the Ravens. He ran 2 read options, and then he handed a ball off to Najee Harris. There's a lot more that can be built on there. I don't know in a short week, but apparently they've been running this kind of stuff all year long. They had packages and plans for it coming into the season. I think he's a massive key to fixing the red zone woes, particularly when you're talking about running it. And I don't only want to see Fields down there. I don't ever want to see, unless there's a time element involved, I don't ever really want to see Russell Wilson run the quarterback sneak again.
Mm-hmm.
He hurt his calf pushing a sled. He has not been effective at it. He's not the biggest guy. And Justin Fields, he gives you something else to think about. Anytime it's 3rd or 4th and 1, I'm putting Justin Fields out there now.
Mm-hmm.
You're not blessed with such offensive talent that you're pulling someone off the field when Fields goes on. Like, you need to find creative ways to move the ball and to punch the ball in the end zone. And, you know, when Vic was the Steelers' backup quarterback to Ben, people would say, oh, use him for 2-point plays. I'm not taking prime Ben Roethlisberger off the field for anybody. But Russell Wilson, who has some deficiencies in some areas, I have no qualms about giving Justin Fields 7, 8, 9 snaps in a football game. But we didn't do a lot of this yesterday. Defensively, they're great. Special teams, they're great. offensively, they've done a lot of great things with Russ. But we have also still seen the struggles. You need to convert in the red zone. You are really not going to beat the Chiefs. You're really not going to beat the Bills in a playoff game or a game of significance against the Chiefs on Christmas if you are kicking six field goals.
Right.
Like, it worked against the Ravens because they put the hex on Lamar. It worked against Atlanta because they didn't even run a single play from under center or run any play action because Kirk Cousins was still smarting, working on coming back from that injury. Against those teams, you can't be clicking at 44% or you're going to lose. What would you do? 412-928-9370. I would, you're right, snap it to Russ, hand it off to Fields. Get funky with it. Mm-hmm. Get creative.
He's basically a running back.
Yes.
Make him one.
Who can throw. And even if you can add more and more every week. And then now, imagine having to prepare for the Steelers now where, okay, now you had three snaps with Fields. Now this week you got six snaps with Fields. And they use them a couple different goofy ways. Next week, just start layering more in there. And then there's going to be games where you might not feel the need to use them at all. But you still have to prepare for it. I love it. Use them more. And the tight ends. Can I say one more thing about the red zone?
Yes.
I'm going to. Upon further review, I have no problem with Russell Wilson throwing the ball to Darnell Washington.
No. I mean, Mike Tomlin said he didn't want him to throw it, but I disagree.
I totally disagree. The reason the Steelers are where they are and everyone's buying into them and they're 8-2 is because they've actually scored points and they've had a killer instinct. When it's third down and nine against Washington, you throw a jump ball down the sideline to Mike Williams and have him make the play. You wanted to win that friggin' football game. You need to be able to have the killer instinct. And sometimes something goes wrong, and it doesn't mean that it's a bad idea. And I think Darnell, he would like that play back. And I think Russ, if you give him truth serum, you throw it 2 feet shorter, and I think you got something there.
Mm-hmm.
So throw that ball. I totally disagree with Mike Tomlin. I get the game circumstance. You kick a field goal, you're up 8 points, you feel really good about the way your defense is playing. But you catch that ball, game's over. You've kill shot those guys. So I have no problem with the mindset. 412-928-9370. You can tweet us. Brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can vote on the Fan Morning Show Twitter poll. Brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Are you like us and think the Steelers are good, or are you like that nerd and think the Steelers are lucky? Not that I'm leading the voters there. 412-928-9370. How should the Steelers use Justin Fields moving forward? Going to go around the NFL in the next segment. Steelers taking on the Browns on Thursday, where they are 1-4-1 in their last six in Cleveland, including losses to Jacoby Brissett and Dorian Thompson Robinson. Did I get the name right?
Yes.
DTR, which really set the Steelers in a different direction from a trajectory standpoint. People blowing up the text line right now. Same guy keeps texting in about the Wrangler jeans commercial. Like the same dude, same texts every morning. Yeah, I got nothing to do with that. Here's a text. Fields is not basically a running back. No running back fumbles like that. Well, he's fumbling snaps.
Snaps? I mean, come on. Do you not watch football? Like,
look, here's the thing.
Talking about.
You're running a risk there. I mean, we talked about that. They ran a risk of the fumbled snap really screwing the game up at the end of the Ravens game. Here's what I think about fourth downs, though. Like, fourth and short, if you throw Fields out there, look, if you get stuffed, you give him the ball right there. If you fumble the snap, you give him the ball right there. Now, you don't give yourself a chance to make the play if you fumble the snap, but you get what I'm saying. They have not been really successful running the quarterback sneak with Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it looks bad, actually,
mm-hmm.
when they try to run that with him.
Yeah.
I think you need more Freiermuth in the red zone, too, Doran. It's big body time when you get down there. Like, Darnell Washington, for all of his prodigious talents, I don't know how you don't jump for that ball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he, when you see him in the open field and he gets going, oh my God, how do you bring that guy down? I still don't know if he has a great feel as a pass catching tight end, if that makes sense. Like, it just didn't. I don't know what he's thinking on that.
He's definitely thinking that somebody was running behind him, one of his teammates. So he thought that it was like in that gray area mm-hmm. where he's like, oh, do I go get it? Actually, somebody might be behind me to get it. And then it was actually the defender.
Or maybe even that Russ is trying to throw it away. And
or that, too.
Doesn't know where he is.
Doesn't
want to
just, like, tip it up and then.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what happened.
I'd use him a ton down there. And I would use Pat Freiermuth a ton down there. Now, he did catch a touchdown in the Washington game, but they have red zone issues, so you can't just keep doing the same stuff. I'd also throw a couple of, if you're into the fade thing, they tried Pickens on a couple of fades. I'd also get Mike Williams involved down there. Throw him a couple of fades. But they can't be clicking at a 44% clip down there. They're going to be losing ball games to good teams later in the year. Brandon in Arizona listening on the Odyssey app. Hi, Brandon.
Good morning, guys.
What up?
So, just based on the red zone conversation, I think bringing Fields in is a great idea. I mean, I don't know why they can't look at what the Ravens were trying to do with rolling Lamar Jackson out to his right and then throwing the ball to the tight end, kind of sneaking out of the line. But I saw, I mean, against the Broncos, you threw basically a back shoulder fade to Darnell Washington, and we haven't seen really Darnell Washington in the red zone since then. I mean,
that was a good throw, good catch. Yeah, you know what, Brandon? Agreed. Thank you so much for the call, 412-928-9370. Doran, you've been saying this a while. A lot of the conversation that I've been putting out there on Fields in the red zone is run-oriented, but doesn't have to just be the run.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you run a couple read options down there, and maybe you have some success, and then you start just letting them throw. And people are texting in, which NFL teams take their quarterbacks out in the red zone? We're not arguing that Justin Fields is your red zone quarterback, but from time to time, you pick your spots for another wrinkle. We do see that. We have seen that. We've seen that for a long time. We've seen it with Wildcat running backs. We've seen it with Taysom Hill for a long time.
What did the Ravens used to do with Lamar his first year?
We've seen it with Lamar in his first year. You're right about that. In fact, Joe Flacco threw a pass that fell to the turf to Lamar Jackson in a Steelers game in 2018. So you're right. Throw the ball. This is not a new concept, though. We have seen this in the NFL before. We used to see it all the time with those Miami Dolphins, with Ronnie Brown and Cadillac Williams,
yes,
with the Wildcat. This is different, though, because this guy can throw. All right, one more on the red zone. Bob and Brentwood. Hi, Bob.
What's going on, guys?
Yo.
Hey, so I was looking at the schedule, and as we're talking, they're looking forward. I think that three-week stretch with the Eagles, the Ravens, the Chiefs, it's the amount of games in the very few short amount of days. I think it's going to be the biggest challenge they face is those three teams in that 17-day span and playing three games. So I want to get your thoughts on if you think that's something that could be, you know, a big hurdle for them to get over, not just the teams, but the amount of games you have to play in those amount of days.
I mean, I think this game will kind of tell you a lot. Right? I mean, the Browns stink.
Mm-hmm.
They stink.
Mm-hmm.
But you're coming off a Ravens game on Sunday where you beat the living snot out of each other. So if they go in there and handle this one well, they're going to show that they can do it on a short week.
Yeah.
Now you'd be playing three great teams, arguably in succession, and that's a different animal. But I thought the Steelers actually handled a schedule disadvantage in this game. Baltimore had a few extra days to prepare. They did throw wrinkles out there. They used Kyle Hamilton in a different way. And they won the game. So I'm not concerned. I was concerned because I didn't know how good the Steelers would be. And you play those three teams when you're a mid team and they're all elite teams and you're doing it three times or whatever in 11 days. That's different. Steelers are a really good football team.
Well, the preparation for that will start after Thursday. That'll, like, as I say, like, you, whenever you're on a short week, you put in game plans for that game. Whenever you do have a short week, usually a week or two before. So, like, the preparation, like, throughout practice, like, you'll have periods. Say, like, even in the Bengals week, where you'll have periods where it's like, okay, like, let's do Eagles period.
Really?
Yeah, we've done that before. Like, Eagles period, just to see, just even if it's a walkthrough, it'll be like Eagles period sometimes, you know, especially like, you know, you don't want to focus on that because you have that game in hand, which is the Bengals game, but you will introduce some things that you might like to do during that week. So whenever that week does come and it's so short, you kind of are familiar with some of the things that you want to do that week.
And I would imagine that the coaching staff does even more than that, where they're looking ahead.
It's basically for the coaches.
Yeah. I mean, you got big staffs.
Yeah.
I know the Steelers isn't as big as some others in the NFL, but you got people who are looking ahead to that kind of stuff.
Yes.
No doubt about it. How about Tomlin saying they weren't even going to look at the Ravens film before going on to the Browns game?
Yeah, I wouldn't either. except for like some of the big plays, maybe like some of the like three of the turnovers.
Like, here's how we play aggressively. Yeah, take the ball.
Great. This is what we need to do this week too. We need to do the same thing. Good job, Herbig. Good job, Queen. You showed up against your former team. That's awesome. Give him two claps. And then like, all right, here's what Jameis Winston did last week.
Two bam, claps. Bam. Yep, bam, like bam. I'm turning off a light in the 1980s.
Yes. Clap on. Clap off.
Did you ever have a clap on?
No. I always wanted one though.
Really?
I thought they were cool.
We have one of those lights in your house that you like tap the side and it goes do 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 do.
Yep.
That kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're going around the NFL next. After that scintillating conversation. First, though, I do want to remind everybody that you can join Odyssey Radio Stations, Pitt Athletics, and Saloni's Italian Bakery at the Market District in Settlers Ridge today and tomorrow from 2 o'clock until 7 p.m. And while you're out buying supplies for your tailgates and Turkey Day celebrations, you can help us fill up the truck to benefit Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank and support your local community members. Help us bring home the biggest haul to Pitt. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And now it's time to go around the NFL, brought to you by Champ Tires, Pittsburgh's trusted tire source since the year 2000. Doran, the Bengals lost two nights ago, and they are 4-7. And I'll tell you what, things are getting kind of chippy in the locker room, it sounds like, as Jamar Chase was asked about their kicker McPherson missing a couple of kicks late, and here's what he had to say.
You've seen Evan obviously make plenty of big kicks. Obviously, he missed two tonight. What do you say to him? Do you say anything?
He knows to make those kicks. You know, that's why we paid him those bucks, to make those kicks in crunch time.
Oh, man.
Yeah, well.
And then you got Joe Burrow, who was asked, is there anything you say to McPherson? And he said, nothing. And he's been real curt in the media. Then he got asked, is this the most challenging season of your professional career? And he said, yeah. And then the nice reporter said, why? And he said, it's kind of self-explanatory. It is self-explanatory. And of course the answer is yes. But I'll tell you what, it sounds like a tire fire there in Cincinnati.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of turmoil even to start the season. When T. Higgins wanted to sit out. Hendrickson wanted to sit out. And, you know, you just could kind of feel this storm brewing for Cincinnati way before the season even started. So they haven't been playing good football, and it looks like it could be good football, but it just doesn't come through ever.
You know what I think they're missing big time? Who they're missing is Joe Mixon.
Oh yeah, I mean, he's on fire this year. I mean, he lit it up last night.
He was outstanding. Burrow's throwing 27 tutties and four picks, and still they're 4-7. And I think a big part of that is A, their defense is not good, but you don't have the requisite running game to be able to put teams away. And with Joe Mixon looking like he does, boy, they're missing that guy. Meanwhile, Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima, our friends from the morning show in Cleveland, were talking about how the Browns basically packed it in their game against the Saints. And I'm worried about this Browns game, or I have been worried about this Browns game. I do think they've kind of quit, though. And good players are quitting.
Last week, Kenny, you were nervous about why would Vrabel even want this job.
Yes.
Right?
Okay. And that's
so,
why I need to make a strong move for him to want the job.
This is very interesting, because I would make an argument. Man, we are getting ahead of things. But you're right. Like, things are going to get really ugly
here. Name your price.
Really fast.
Money is money. I don't care about the money. It ain't my money. Name your price. $100 million? $120 million?
Here's why you would do it.
Let's talk turkey.
Whose name did you not hear yesterday during that Browns game?
I don't know.
He's the probably the best Cleveland Brown.
Miles Garrett?
He's probably the best Cleveland Brown of my lifetime. It's either him or Nick Chubb. You didn't hear Miles Garrett's name yesterday. I don't want to ever, and I know he got a little banged up. He was limping around a little bit.
Do it, Lima. Do it, Lima.
And I certainly don't want to accuse him of quitting.
Accuse him, Lima.
We did see the defense quit yesterday.
Oh. They're quitting on defense.
Oh.
I'm not going to accuse. Blah, 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 blah. I did that yesterday. I did. I kind of did Justin Tucker dirty. I tweeted out a video that Brian Bacco took after a question that Brian Bacco asked him. And he said, I'm not using the surface as an excuse, but it's not ideal. The way I view these kinds of things, when you say, like to your wife, I'm so sorry I did this, but you're not really sorry.
No.
I'm not going to use the surface as an excuse, but it wasn't ideal. You're using it as an excuse. I'm not going to question the effort of Myles Garrett, but the defense quit. You're not saying, but you're kind of saying. So I think it's incumbent upon these Pittsburgh Steelers, Doran, on Thursday night, go in, jump up on these guys early.
Yep.
You make it 10-0, 14-0, they're packing their bags.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're at the airport. They're there.
Myles Garrett, best Cleveland Brown of my lifetime. I'm not going to say quit, but the defense quit. How about another one out of Cleveland this week? We'll get to this coming up next. One of the most preposterous things I've ever heard, and we need to get into it. A former Cleveland Brown saying that in the offseason, the Browns should do everything they can to bring in blank. I'm going to fill in the blank when we come back. You just wait. First, though, Fan Weather's brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's here, the Chevy Red Tag event now through December 2nd. 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com. Today, high is 64.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.